Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted." Last time we celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together, we began a series on the Beatitudes. And you may remember that the word beatitude comes from the Latin for blessedness. And we hear that word beatitude, or we hear that word blessedness, and those words have deeply religious association, don't they? Beatitudes is a term that would never be used outside of the church. Maybe not never. Somebody's going to tell me a different context. I'm on to you. It's a word that would rarely be used in a different context. The word blessed is a word that is widely used, but it always has this religious or spiritual connotation to it. And here, as we look at the Beatitudes, as we begin thinking about the Beatitudes or this life of what it means to be called blessed, you remember that we defined it simply as happy. Happy are those. Happy are those who live this life described in the Beatitudes. From this happiness, we showed how this eternal happiness that is found within this word, this happiness is only produced by the Lord Jesus Christ as we find ourselves under Him as prophet, priest, and king. This life of blessedness or happiness is a life that is a life in union with Christ. Now this morning we are going to look at the first of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:3 records the words that Jesus states as He gives this first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does Jesus mean when He puts forth this idea that happiness, eternal happiness, is found within poverty of spirit? What does He mean? We're going to explore this under two headings. And the first this morning we are going to call the poverty of poor in spirit. The poverty of poor in spirit. Now, when we hear this phrase, blessed are the poor in spirit, there's a number of things that we must say right from the beginning, including what it doesn't mean. Poor in spirit is not an elevation of physical poverty. That's important to say. Another gospel writer records, blessed are the poor. And often the idea is that here Jesus is saying that this life of poverty or this life of being poor is blessed if we use poverty for the sake of a deeper spiritual or religious experience. This is not a call to denounce money or possessions. It's not a call to take a vow of poverty for the sake of some spiritual experience. We can think of the vows of the priesthood, which requires a vow of poverty. Jesus is not requiring any of us to be poor materially for the sake of our spiritual lives. Or we can think of men like Gandhi that would use poverty of spirit as a way to promote the plight of the poor. Here Jesus is not talking about physical poverty. We could go to other texts to talk about the way in which God views the poor and the way in which all of us as the body of Christ are to respond to the poor. But this is not that text. Jesus is here talking about being poor of spirit. This is not about money. But we also need to say that when we talk about poor of spirit, we are not talking about the hating of self. This is not Jesus calling us as believers to hate ourselves or to abuse ourselves. And at the same time, this is not Jesus telling us that we are blessed when we have poor character. We are not called to hate ourselves or to have character that is poor. We know that man is created in the image of God, and although that image is broken, that image remains on each one of us. So it's not a call to hate yourself. It's not a call to abuse yourself or to despise the gifts that God has given you or to despise the talents God has given you or to despise the blessings that God has given you. Poverty of spirit is not an unnatural hating of self, and it's not bad character. It's not the same as having a poor spirit. This is not a call for us to be always sour or always depressing or a drain to be around. So what is this that Jesus is telling us? This poverty of spirit that is elevated here is a poverty of spirit that is contrasted with richness of spirit. You can contrast these two. Here's poverty of spirit, and here is what we would call richness of spirit. Richness of spirit is when one looks to oneself and finds satisfaction in one's abilities and in one's own gifting and in one's own talent and in one's own worth. Looking at self and saying, when I look within myself, I find great talent. I find a great guy. I find wonderful things when I look within myself by nature. This is not an elevation of one's own talents or worth or worthiness. Some of you may have read Ralph Waldo Emerson's famous essay called Self-Reliance. Self-reliance begins with a Latin phrase that translates as "do not seek outside of yourself." Do not seek outside of yourself. This is the prime example of richness of spirit. When you or any of us look within to ourself and we say, everything that I have is here. We are rich. Here the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to poverty of spirit. Exactly the opposite of what Emerson and the world is calling us to have. We are not to look within for strength or value or worth because it's not there. Friends, this is what poverty of spirit does. The Holy Spirit takes this poverty of spirit that looks within and says, Lord, I am unable to find eternal value here. I'm unable to find eternal worth here. And the Holy Spirit takes this poverty of spirit, this true self-knowledge. And it says, when I look within, I am lacking. I am unable. I am incomplete. You may remember that John Calvin said that we need true knowledge of self in order to have knowledge of God. We understand who we are in contrast to the Holy One. And we understand that within ourselves, we don't have these great abilities. For we look to Christ. You see, poverty of spirit is not where we end in the Christian life. It's where we begin. The poverty of poor in spirit says that when I look to my own soul and when I look to my own heart, I see a need. Friends, do you see that need? As you reflect on yourself, do you see poverty rather than riches? You see, there's a reason the Beatitudes begin here. And that reason is that the Lord Jesus is telling us that this is the starting point of the Christian life. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, our Lord does not place the Beatitudes in their order haphazardly or accidentally. There is what we may describe as a spiritual, logical sequence to be found. This of necessity is the one which must come at the beginning for the good reason that there is no entry into the kingdom of heaven apart from it. Friends, we must know the poverty of our souls. We must know that outside of Christ, we are poor and helpless and in need. Poverty is the very beginning point of Christian discipleship. Jesus himself says elsewhere that if one is to be my disciple, first he would deny himself. Self-denial is that starting point of the Christian life. We don't look to Christ and say, you know, I have got a whole lot going on in my life that is really awesome, and the one thing I lack is a little bit of Jesus. That is so much the American experience of Christianity, and probably other cultures as well. But this is the first step in this life of blessedness, this first beatitude that opens the door to the greatness of what is the Christian life. The Puritan Thomas Watson asked, why does Christ begin with poverty of spirit? And part of his answer is that Christ does it to show that poverty of spirit is the very basis and foundation of all other graces that will follow. He goes on and he says, when the heart becomes a valley and lies low by poverty of spirit, now the springs of holy mourning run there. Till a man be poor in spirit, he cannot hunger, he cannot thirst. He must first be sensible of his lack before this poverty of spirit ushers in the rest. Friends, we must begin here. We must begin with confessing that our poverty is not just something that is superficial, but our poverty is a poverty that runs deeply even into the very depths of our soul. Poverty of spirit teaches us that we must be weaned from self. We must be weaned from this idea that within ourselves lies happiness and blessedness. In many ways, poverty of spirit is the complete opposite of what we are taught in the world. We are all taught to look within. We talk about the message of Jesus, the gospel, being countercultural. Think how countercultural it is to say that happiness cannot be found by putting yourself first. That we must look outside of ourselves. That when we look into ourselves, we are empty. There is nothing within that can satisfy the greatest longings of the heart of humanity. The image of God longs to be restored. And we look to self and we say, I don't know what it is that is not being satisfied. But this is what the world does. They look within and they say, you know, I can't find happiness, so I just need to look deeper and look deeper and look deeper. Friends, it is an empty well. For we will not find happiness, eternal blessedness within. I'm not saying that none of our unbelieving friends would describe themselves as happy. And I'm not saying that our unbelieving friends are as miserable can be. We know that experientially this is not true. But eternal longing happiness, blessedness that will take us from this life into eternity, it is unable to be found within. The poverty of spirit teaches us that we must be weaned from self-realization and self-sufficiency, and we must be weaned from all these ideas that say to look to self, for we must find blessedness and happiness elsewhere. The poverty of being poor in spirit is the realization that by nature we are empty. You might think, well, Pastor Nathan, that is so depressing. And if the end of the message was that, you're right. But we, like Peter, ask the question, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? If we look within and all we find is emptiness, if self-satisfaction is a farce, where do we go? And this brings us to our second heading, which is the richness of poor in spirit. The richness of poor in spirit. The Lord Jesus reminds us here that poverty of spirit is the starting point of the blessed life. It is the starting point of the happy life. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. By saying that we are blessed or we are happy when we have understood or grasped poverty of spirit, he is reminding us that there is a richness to this. When we begin to grasp poverty of spirit, we think of the psalmist in Psalm 130. In Psalm 130, the psalmist says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my pleas for mercy. If you should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Friends, from this depth of poverty of spirit, we are able to look up and see happiness and see blessedness, and it is found in no other than the Lord. From the depths, we understand our lowliness of heart, and in turn, we look to the one who is Jesus Christ. We look to the Lord, understanding that lowliness is a blessed state only when our eyes are fixed on Christ. Friends, if you were just left in the state of poverty of spirit without the blessedness or the happiness attached, oh, how miserable would you be? Oh, how horrible would your life be? For we know people who understand their own need but are unable to see fulfillment in Christ. And it's a horrid and wretched state. Because like the psalmist says here in Psalm 130, it is in the depths. It is a pit. We must understand that we are called here to look to Christ, to find this blessedness. There is great richness in seeing life in this context. The life that says, I am nothing and Christ is everything. Christ is my all in all. Friends, this is a happy life. This is a blessed life. Have you experienced this lowliness of heart that looks to Christ? Have you experienced this seeing life in the pit and yet looking to Christ for blessedness and happiness despite the depths? For this is a good life. In this we find life. In this blessedness we truly find the richness of what it means to be in union with Christ. This poverty of spirit is what the Holy Spirit uses to draw us to Christ. Our hearts are converted, and when our hearts are converted, we see our state by nature. We see where we stand by nature. And only with a converted heart are we able to cry out for Christ. Only with that converted heart are we able to see the blessedness that begins here, the happiness that begins here. This poverty of spirit Christ uses to draw us. He gives us a new heart, and we are able to see the greatest riches offered in the human experience are found within Christ alone. Within the second Adam, the one who became poor, so that poor sinners may become rich. You see, there is great richness in being poor of spirit, because in part it leads to a biblical self-examination. We're able to look at our hearts through the Word of God, and we are led to look at our lives according to God's Word and according to the Holy Gospel. And when we do so, we see Christ. We see that Christ is our all in all. We examine who we are by nature, and we understand that outside of Christ we are nothing, and yet we find richness in Him. We find blessedness in Him. We find happiness in Him. I hope that as you have prepared your heart and mind to come to this table this morning, that you moved from poverty to riches. For this table reflects a wedding feast, not a funeral meal. We are called to celebrate who Jesus is in all the richness that He gives. And I hope that balance of seeing your need, the poverty of spirit, and seeing the richness of happiness in Christ, I hope that balance was part of your examination. As Robert Murray McShane says, for every one look to self, have 10 looks to Christ. I pray that in your examination of self, you come empty-handed. Because this empty-handedness is where Jesus wants us to be. He says to come and to buy milk and to buy wine without money and without price. He bids us to come. He says, I understand you are empty. I understand you have nothing. Come. As part of this blessedness, come and find riches in the one that satisfies the true examinations of the heart. Come and receive riches from the one that fulfills our poverty. Friends, He has purchased an inheritance of which we are a part. He does not leave us poor, for He fulfills poverty with riches. You see, we find riches here as we take Christ for who He is as revealed in the Scriptures. And when we take Christ for who He is, we understand that we don't come with power to negotiate. If you were purchasing an item and someone comes along with more money for that same item, you lose your ability to negotiate. Say you're selling an item on Craigslist. You want $100 for it. And somebody comes and they say, I've got $50. Will you take it? And the next email that you read says, I love this. I will pay full price. the one with less loses the ability to negotiate. Friends, we come empty. We come taking Christ on His terms. And what are the costs of discipleship? You remember the famous line that when Christ calls a man to be His disciple, He bids a man to come and die. There is richness in poverty of spirit. We can't negotiate these things when we are poor. And the beauty of the gospel is that God is not going to oppress us in our poverty. He is not treating our poverty of spirit as the powerful oppress the poor in this world. He says, I know you have nothing. Come. I know you are empty-handed. Come. I know you don't have power to negotiate. Come. Come and know something of the blessedness that comes from poverty of spirit. And friends, riches come and riches increase as we pursue Him. As we pursue Him on His terms, He fills us. He satisfies us. He satisfies the longings of our heart. He satisfies the desires of our heart. He satisfies us in Christ. He does not hide His riches from us. But He says, receive. Receive of My riches. You see, God does not give us His word as though it is a treasure map, saying, if you can decode all of this secret stuff, you're going to find riches. He's revealed His riches. And He says, in Christ there is riches. Come to Him according to His terms. Use the means of grace that God has given, that we may be filled, that we may receive from the riches of His storehouse. You see, we have His Word so that we can hear the riches of His Word and hear the riches of the beauty of the gospel. And we have the preaching of His Word, that means by which He says, converts sinners and builds up saints. And He says, receive from these riches. Receive from this storehouse. And we have the singing of psalms, the sweet music which is the Word of God being sung back to His very ears. Those of you that are parents, some of the greatest joy that you have when having younger children is when they say something that reflects something that you have taught them. When you hear your words reflected back in the words of your son or your daughter. And so too, we are able to sing God's words back to Him, and it's received with joy as children to the Father. We have the riches of the sacraments. this sacrament laid out before us that is a means of grace, not just something we do so that we can parrot what Jesus has done. And it's not something that we do just so that we have some visual of the gospel, but it's a means of grace whereby those who commune are brought into the heavenlies to commune on Christ by faith. What more riches could we want? Or baptism that we will see shortly, that shows us the way in which sinners are cleansed. Friends, these are rich things. And being poor in spirit leads to richness when we're looking to the blessed life in Christ alone. And we're being filled with these riches that God has given to us. Richness flows to us by faith as we use these means of grace. We are drawn more and more to Christ. And we find ourselves more and more in submission to Him who is King. And we find that as we submit to the King, that we are crowned, and that we are clothed, and that we are given a signet ring. You see, there's richness in poverty of spirit. When we look to Christ, the more and more we realize this poverty of spirit, it leads to greater riches. You see, God is not a miser who distributes grace in such a way that we're never satisfied. Or we're never full. It's not as though we're standing in line at the soup kitchen and He just breaks off a morsel and He says, "That's to satisfy you." For we are given a feast where we eat and drink. And the fullness comes not from the elements, but what the elements signify. Christ. The fullness of Christ. We don't have to just keep coming back begging and begging in our poverty. But we realize that this life of blessedness or happiness is a life where we are made rich and we are made full. Friends, do you know the richness in Christ that begins with poverty of spirit? Do you know something of this grace that is offered freely to sinners? Sinners that look to themselves and realize that we're poor, we're empty, and that's okay. Because Christ is enough. And Christ satisfies us. And Christ calls us into this life of blessedness. This says, "Look to me and be rich." You see, this richness of the poverty of spirit is just that, because in Christ we are granted citizenship in His kingdom. That's what He says, isn't it? "For such is the kingdom of God." He calls us not to stay in this shallow or this lowly state. He calls us not to stay in poverty, impoverished, but he says, blessed are you when you understand this. And as you look to Christ, you don't just receive a morsel of bread, you receive a kingdom. For we are called into that kingdom by faith. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Congregation, we have set before us a meal that is the meal of the kingdom. And Christ is head. He is our host. And the Gospels remind us that those who were rich and those who were satisfied and those who were well and those who were good, they were invited to this feast. And they did not come. And Jesus told His disciples to go into the highways and the byways and to invite the poor, to invite those who are needy, to invite those who are without, invite those who know they are lacking. Friends, that invitation is the invitation extended to you. This table is not for those who understand that they are good. This table is not for those who are already satisfied. This table is not for those who are full. This table is for those who look within themselves and say, I have nothing to bring. I have nothing to offer. This table is for the downtrodden. This table is for the miserable. This table is for the sad. This table is for those who struggle in this life. This table is for the marginalized. This table is for all of those, all of you who look within and say, I have nothing to bring. And yet look to Christ by faith and say, though I am poor, I am rich. Though I have nothing, I have a kingdom. Though I am no one, I am a son, I am a daughter of the King of the universe. This table is for you. You who look to yourself. And are lacking. Jesus bids you to look to yourself and to confess that there's nothing there of eternal value. By nature. For our value is in Christ, as He offers us richness and a kingdom, and as He offers Himself. And bread and wine, He bids us to come. Come in that poverty and receive riches even unto eternity for the sake of Christ. Amen.